are 40 miles out, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
40.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's a Tasmobile.
We pull in at 12:12.
An orange.
Orange,
black Dodge Charger.
With that bowling shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He'd love that, didn't he?
I hope he and Brian Cage can get over and make $1 million.
Me too. Brian Cage looks like $1 million.
He does.
And Taz can cut a good promo, man.
He's been doing very well. Yeah. He's just an angry man.
Yes. Man, it comes across that way.
I just hope that we can keep Cage healthy.
Yep.
He's so heavily muscled. Mm-hmm. That, you know, he's a little... Poor old Scotty Steiner went through that for years.
Yeah, no flexibility, right? All muscled up.
Tear this, tear that. It's funny, the muscles get bigger from working out and doing your supplements. But the tendons that hold them together and attach everything don't.
Well, they put him in a hell of a spot, didn't they? Brought him in, went over in the casino ladder match, yeah. Put him up against the world champion immediately. That's a hell of a spot to come into.
At some point, he's going to talk a little bit.
Of course he does.
I don't like Taz's talking. I do. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But you just add more depth to the character, to the presentation, if the talent could talk a little bit.
Everybody needs to talk. It's good that Taz is doing in-ring promos because not many guys have been doing that.
Yes.
Cody's been doing it. MJF's been doing it. And now Taz is doing it. But after that, there hasn't been that many in-ring promos. And I know the business is changing, but still, I thought what made Cody and Jericho, what made it great was the interviews that Cody did about that.
Yeah, I agree. Good work.
Yeah.
If you're watching wrestling as a talent or as a fan, and what you're hearing doesn't make you roll your eyes. It's like, okay, here it comes. Mm-hmm. So predictability is one thing. You don't want that. You want to be unique. And in today's world, the way you're unique is to be yourself. Because nobody else can be you. Some common sense.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of guys just don't have the confidence in their own personalities. As I said earlier about all these flip-flops and flies. I think some guys just don't have the confidence in their own basic ability to tell a story without doing stunts. And for them, it's a bad thing because the stunts aren't new anymore. And all you're going to, if your theory to make them different is to raise the bar and increase the risk of injury, I ain't for that. And any real wrestling fan should not be for that either. In my opinion, why would you want to get in a scenario where you're this guy trying to make a living to entertain you here tonight, you get wiped out because he's got to try one more big stunt?
Right. Yeah, it's... But you know, what has happened over time is, especially lately, the fans, they get immediate gratification because they get the big pop from the fans. And they want to hear that, right? When your fans go, oh, God, oh, a cheer, big pops. They don't, and they're afraid that if they, boy, this sounds old school, I don't care. If they snatch a headlock, right, they feel the fans are going to go boring.
Yeah.
They're not.
They talk themselves into that.
Yeah.
That's a rationalization for doing more spots.
Right. They're really not. If they can tell a good story in the ring, the fans will be with them.
You remember anything from because we're in this neighborhood? Anything from Joe Hamilton?
No. I talked to Joe right after WCW went down. I was working for WSB. He wanted to do a wrestling radio show. And I talked to him. He and I had lunch. This was probably 2003, 2004. And I took it back to my bosses, and they didn't want to do it. But no, I haven't. He's in his 80s now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about a great talker, man.
Yeah, sir. He and Tom Ernesto were the best heel villain tag team I ever saw.
Yeah.
And I've judged that. Here's a headline. Ross disses Arn and Tully. He disses the Midnight Express. By saying the Assassins were the best team ever. I was a kid, impressionable, in the 60s. I was, 10, 12 years old. And that influenced me, what I saw. Mm-hmm. It affected me. I remember details of angles and matches and promos and wondering what they looked like under those masks. With his eyes. Mm-hmm. But he scarred up and was rough. They did the same program, basic same program, in multiple territories. They mean the Assassins with the Kentuckians, Grizzly Smith and Luke Brown. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it predicated off a hard way. So Grizzly, for some reason, old Grizz had many peculiarities. And one of them was he didn't mind getting busted open because it got sympathy with the girls. And it got sympathy on him because he was 6'11", 350 pounds. But they did that thing. They did it in the studios at WKY Television, Oklahoma City, Channel 4. And so they recorded their syndicated show, their only show. And the announcer was not smart to the business. 3D Danny Williams, who always signed off saying, and watch out for flying chairs. So he was a ubiquitous guy, had a lot of roles at that station. But anyway, nobody ever clued him in what was going on. So he didn't know who was going to win the matches. He didn't know anything. Just call like it's for it, call like you see it, whatever. And then, they had the angle where I think it was Joe Hardaway Grizzly. You get rid of Luke, double team Grizz, tie him up the ropes, and tee off, bust him open. Well, the announcer thought it had to be some sort of sleight of hand deal until they came over there and he reached up to see if Grizz's cut. His hair was kind of hanging over it. Pulled his hair, threw his hair back. And he saw this gash and almost lost their TV deal.
Wow.
Because he said, let's get a close up here. Let's get a close up here. He was trying to expose his own deal. And when he flipped Grizz's hair back, he was gashed open like a, you would think. They did that program in all these territories. The storyline worked.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't do that now because there's too much national overlay. But when you were in a territory and your show was only seen in that region, why not?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think I had heard that, and this was before I started with the Crockett's. I had heard that sometimes they would switch. They would have a show like in Roanoke on a Saturday night and maybe a show in Greensboro on a Sunday night or something like that, that they would do like a double switch. Did you ever hear that? Where like Steamboat won the U.S. title. Somebody told me like Steamboat won the U.S. title Saturday night in Roanoke and he won it again in Greensboro. I don't know if that's true or not.
That happened a lot.
Did it?
Yeah.
Obviously before the information age, but...
Bingo. Yeah. It happened, I say, a lot. Mm-hmm. It was not totally unusual.
Yeah. Because the fans love seeing the title change hands.
Now they go online, they find out a greatest forwarder, find out what's going to happen anyway.
Yes, because they want to be the first to know.
I'm not a big fan of those forwarders.